Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
TalkSTL.com, Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the War Room of the O'Keefe Think Tank, this is Real Spoilers, episode 141. Merry Christmas, a special Christmas episode.
Exactly.
In which everyone will learn a valuable lesson seeing Krampus.
Our Christmas present to you.
I think our views are going to differ on this one.
Yeah, so I think so.
I think you and I might be close on this one.
Yeah?
I think so.
Okay.
This did nothing for me.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Before we dig in... let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Dan.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And I am Tom. Real quick, don't forget, shameless plugs. We're available on iTunes. You can go there and rate and review and subscribe to us. Helps us a lot. We greatly appreciate it. People do read that stuff to decide if it's worth sampling a podcast they've never heard of. And chances are we are a podcast they've never heard of. So... So that helps. It really does.
We have like 700 likes on Facebook.
Yeah, we're getting there.
Yeah.
So that helps a lot. So if you haven't done it yet, we would greatly appreciate it if you do it for us. It really does help move the needle.
And if you have actually recently liked our page, thank you.
Like, yes,
thanks for checking us out. Don't forget to spread the word.
The Zilch podcast, yeah. Or maybe heard me on the laps and you're like, what's this guy like?
Yeah. Well,
now you know, and I'm sorry. you know, when I say...
He didn't warn you about me.
Right. There's that. So when we say, like, you know, people haven't heard of our podcast, here's a way that they can hear of our podcast. You could share it on your Facebook or social media page. Join our League of Show Sharers. That's what we call a smooth segue.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. So if you do like it, you can join our League of Show Sharers. Just click the share button and maybe write a little note to your friends. I really like this.
Yeah. Yeah, you can share it through whether you listen through Acast or you listen through iTunes or Stitcher. Their iTunes, like I've said before, just updated their iOS, and you can actually share episodes through a little tab. You can just share it to whatever social media platform you'd like.
Do they have MySpace on there?
Yeah. Yep.
Great.
Friendster.
CompuServe.
They have I just created an AIM messenger name for us.
And
So they can message.
What are you going to do with
kidding.
It?
I'm totally kidding. Like, nobody uses AIM anymore.
I was about to say, what are you doing with this?
AIM and Yahoo Messenger.
Don't forget realspoilers.com.
Yeah, Real Spoilers. All of our episodes 1 through soon to be 141 are all there.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's all sorts of ways for you to discover us. So. And share us with your friends.
Exactly.
Yeah. So there, I'm done. Oh,
God, we do have a report from our man on the street, Harry Stein.
Uh-oh.
All right. Hey,
bring this guy onto the show.
I know. Well, he is, basically.
He's been on more episodes than Kevin.
Oh, I don't know about that. Jeez.
All right, Blake.
That's fair.
I've been on like one less episode than you.
No, yeah. No. Your little Fallout 4 fever put me over like 5 or 6 episodes above you.
5 or 6? How did I miss that many?
Exactly.
I got the fever.
And Harry Stein says, on the Creed box office report, there was an argument whether or not there's an anthology movie series that did well. I'll just sit back and eat a Cornetto and watch some Simon Pegg movies.
I don't really consider that a...
I think we're thinking anthology within the movie.
Yeah.
I hear what he's saying. He has a good point.
Yes,
good point.
I think he misunderstood what we were saying, though, in all fairness, and that we were saying a movie that itself was a series of stories within one film.
With one guy.
And then they ended up...
Yeah. Yeah. Tales from the Dark Side.
We were saying a full film.
Yeah, we were. Yeah. But it existed
in the same universe, kind of like.
Well, not necessarily the same universe, but I get what he's saying. Yeah. I guess the difference for me with the Coronado is that they don't really brand it that way.
No, it's just,
you know what I mean? That was kind of grafted onto it retroactively.
Yeah, that's the retconned.
It's the same group of guys that are creating it.
Dude, I would pay.
But they're not called The Adventures of Simon Pegg, and then this is The Adventures of Simon Pegg. Like, it's not the same series.
They didn't call them, like, Drinking Nerds, and each one's a different
Drinking Nerd. Exactly. Yeah. I think that's the differentiation.
No, I would pay $1 billion to see Sean and Ed meet, Nicholas Angel and what was Nick Frost character in Hot Fuzz?
Have them meet each other, just have
one movie where it's all three of those characters played by the same actor interacting with each other. Done. Just
well,
take my
Hollywood,
money.
Did you hear that? Yeah. There's a market for that.
Take my
now,
money
so.
Right now.
Joe will buy that 10 million tickets.
Did you see that there was an idea for a Shaun of the Dead 2 from Shaun Till Dawn, and they were going to fight vampires? I was like, fine, I don't care. Like, that's brilliant. Just find different monsters for Sean and Ed to fight.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Maybe.
In animated form.
Maybe.
He said, I guess I'll just go watch Paul. Paul gets back to his home planet, and there's no Jason Voorhees in Friday the 13th 5.
Joe.
Yeah, I think that's right. Because there is one where it's not. He's not in one, technically. Yeah. But. No, he isn't one. He's at the very end. Spoilers in the end.
Is that right? Is that 4? So what's happening in 5?
So 5 is they reopen Camp Crystal Lake as a home for troubled kids. And Tommy Wallace, I think that's who it is. The Corey Feldman character from
Little Tommy Wallace.
Yeah, Little Tommy Wallace. He's at this thing and like
Tommy Jarvis?
Tommy Jarvis, yeah. Tommy Wallace was Halloween.
Ah.
Yeah. So one of these kids is murdered, like one kid murders another kid, and it turns out that the kid that is the EMS EMTs arrive, and it turns out, spoilers for Friday the 13th part 5, the EMS driver who pulls up, it turns out that this kid that is murdered is his son.
Yeah.
And he starts wearing the mask goes around and kills all the kids on the thing. I think that's 5.
Well, sure.
All right.
Close enough.
If you say so. Well, now that we've synopsized that movie.
that's a quick one.
You got two in you?
I got two. Yeah, that's
good. Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, now.
Creepy Kevin.
Yeah. Hold on.
This one's fairly thin on
it's
plot.
You can probably get two in.
There's
a plot there. All right, let it go, Kevin.
This won't take much.
So, Krampus.
Yeah.
Synopsis away.
So this is another horror movie brought to you by Michael Dougherty, who directed Trick or Treat, which I think is fantastic.
So I won't be doing that video recovery.
Okey-dokey. You can talk about Superman Returns. It's fine.
I think it's worth revisiting.
Yeah, I think it is. So Michael Dougherty, he was part of the team that brought you X-Men, X-Men 2, Superman Returns.
So he was good with Bryan Singer.
Literally and possibly figuratively. But there was two. There was another one, though. Does he have a twin?
Because Bryan Singer really likes twins.
Speaking of having two in you.
But he had a writing partner, though. Like a guy that wrote with him, who wrote X-Men 1, X-Men 2, and Superman. And Michael Dougherty has kind of broken off. I think it's no secret that this guy kind of has an affinity for the horror.
Yeah. For the horror movies.
So this we open in this movie in scenes we have just seen not a week ago of people like just trampling each other on Black Friday. I think the video that's going around right now is there's a kid who
grabs
something. Oh my god. Yeah, like this kid like grabs a doll
that's
or something.
Stage, supposedly.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
It's fake. Because they're fighting over vegetable steamers. There's no way someone's gonna knock someone over for a vegetable
a child.
Steamer.
I don't know, man.
But it was
like $10, so it's possible.
Yeah. It's just like
But either way, like that's the video like you're seeing like the worst in humanity in these like 30-second videos.
Yeah.
And then we're kind of introduced to this family with Adam Scott, who, man, I love Adam Scott. Like, that guy,
yeah,
he's good in this. I don't care. Like, this movie, I
Yeah.
Just say it right now. I really enjoyed the movie. But he, like, his just his sense of humor is awesome.
He's figured out his, like, formula.
Niche, I guess. Yeah. If you haven't seen Party Down, I can't recommend that show enough.
Or Parks and Rec. He's great. Everyone's great on that show. That is just fantastic.
That first season is a hard one.
It maybe has a little
slow. Only six episodes.
Yeah. And it finds its footing in season
two. Yeah, I was like, they were, it is interesting to watch it because you're like, ooh.
Yeah, if you're interested in, like, TV, just the mechanics of it, just watching them, like, it's interesting to watch them flounder because you know they eventually do figure it out.
Right. Yeah. I came into that show after it was off the air.
Newhart,
it took it, like, two seasons. And if it hadn't been that Newhart had just come off of a very popular show, legendary show, I don't think he'd have been given, and came on right after MASH, not to be confused with After MASH.
Like, it was the show after MASH.
Yes.
Right. Nobody cares about After MASH.
Although After MASH's first season finished top 20.
Well, you're riding the name.
But people forget that the first season, but still, you're riding the name, but they wrote it for a whole season.
Well, I guess,
like,
that's
you
true.
Know what I mean? Like,
that's 22
a lot of,
episodes.
Yeah. Right. So, I mean, you know, it was when in season two, they moved it directly opposite the A-Team.
Because they're just like, whatever.
Yeah. And they even ran a print ad, like, it was like showed Klinger in a dress, like, shooting a machine gun at Mr. T. Like, we're not scared of the A-Team. And, like,
I love old
three episodes.
Like,
and
so
it was like
that.
Those old drawings, like what used to look like the cover of the novelization of the Bad News Bears, you know, or the $1 billion hobo. Yeah. And then, like, three episodes later, canceled.
Done.
Yeah.
Well done. Over.
Yeah.
But yeah, that sounds like The Office. That first season of The Office is awful.
Yeah.
And then they figure out season
two. Yeah, the British one. Well, because they were just copying
the first episode was literally word for word.
Yeah.
And he looks like Ricky Gervais.
Yeah.
Like, he's got his hair slicked back.
It was painful.
It was bad.
So anyway, so we're introduced to this family. So you've got the kid who I thought was the young Clark Kent from Man of Steel. I looked it up. It's not. But I've never seen this kid before. Toni Collette plays the mom, and he's got a younger sister, or an older sister. And they're at, like, this recital, and the kid just, like, I don't...
A holiday recital.
And then,
like, the wise men.
Something like that, And it's all in slow-mo. Like, honestly, the opening scene reminded me so much of Zombieland.
Yeah.
Like, in that slow, like, that opening scene of Zombieland where, like, everybody's running from the zombies and just the whole thing. So it's a slow-mo shot, and you're focused in on, like, the family, on this group of people, and they all have their phones out, and the camera kind of pans around, and you can see one kid beating the crap out of another kid on this stage.
Yeah.
And then they end up going home, and it turns out that he's like the son, and I guess.
And this is where the movie, like, the one issue I have with this movie, which is it all became apparent right in the opening 5 minutes.
Yeah.
It doesn't know which side it
wants
to play.
Bingo.
Yep.
And that was
my only
issue
with
the movie. I was prepared to follow it down any of those paths.
Yep.
But it couldn't decide which path, and it kept
changing. The slow-mo irony scene at the beginning is like, it's a little trite, but
feeding it to you.
And they showed the police tasering, and they, like, have wacky faces.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, see, it's
like,
just like,
if you're going to do that movie, do that movie.
Right.
Right. Yeah. It's like one or the other.
Right.
And
right.
So tonally, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, are they playing this? Is this campy?
I thought it was going to be
straight.
So I was
thinking, I still don't know.
Exactly.
I don't know. And I thought, initially, I thought it was going to be kind of like Shaun of the Dead or Zombieland or things like that, where the horror is real, but the comedy comes from the people and the way they react to it.
Right.
Yes.
And it is like that up until a point, and then it turns into a straight up horror flick.
Right.
From there on out.
And a pretty mediocre one.
I mean, I enjoyed it.
It's a horror flick with really good character design.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's I love the monsters that we see in this movie.
When they finally let you see them.
Correct. And I don't even mind so much.
And I know movies, but, like, it's an hour and 20 minutes in before you really see Krampus.
Something. Yeah.
Yeah. It was
like, you see the other, you see some of the other creatures, but, like, that, I was just like,
Yeah. So we go back to the house, and it's kind of obvious that, you know, like any of these holiday movies, I feel like we never get a holiday movie where the family isn't in some sort of, like, strife.
Well, yeah, cause
with each other.
I mean, it's just story writing.
I guess that's true.
You want a conflict to
and
resolve,
and you want them to come back together.
Yeah.
Right.
You want to see a family that's not in strife. Go watch the Waltons or something. but they were always in strife. It was right. Like when we were poor, or you know, somebody's gonna have to eat their own foot. I don't know. It was
the depression. Did that happen on that show?
It was the depression. Okay. Stuff like that happened.
Just cut it off.
Yeah.
That's why they had so many children.
Yeah.
They're like,
they
well,
ain't cut that off.
Yeah, no, they didn't. It's a good Catholic couple.
Yeah.
Well, extra food.
Yeah.
You're like, start
need lots of lube. You need lots of lube back then, though.
Yeah.
Because of the Dust Bowl.
Yes.
That was dirty and historically accurate.
See, yeah, you're going one way, and I'm like going on. Pick, you know, they were able to, you know,
eat their children.
Well, like kind of a daughter party kind of a thing.
Party six.
I mean, I think about it now. Like, if we got like in this room, it was like I always look around. Like, who am I going to eat first?
I'm going
to
win.
Good
that.
To know.
Yeah. I think me. I'm the doughy one.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I'm going to last. You know,
you
it's going to last me all
lean.
Winter, buddy.
Just keep you around just long enough.
I'll just take a leg.
Yeah. Just slowly but surely. Yeah.
Sorry.
The calf was pretty tasty.
Then you can still podcast, too.
Yeah.
You have another person.
Yeah.
We see the family, and it's obvious that people are coming over for Christmas, and nobody is excited about it. The grandmother is there who, you know, is kind
she's
of
German.
Like, she's German, and she's your source of information. And, you know, it's pretty, it's so hard to
Grandma
describe.
Grandma exposition?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, she just... And it's weird because like they give you the subtitles for her.
Yeah.
And then Adam Scott responds because, you know, Adam Scott speaks German or spoke German. And then at one point in the movie, they stop. They stop giving you the subtitles, and the kid becomes your conduit to figure out what she's saying. It's just very, I'm like, if you're going to do that, that's fine. But it's the same thing. Like, I don't think that Trick or Treat kind of had this problem as well. But I think the advantage that Trick or Treat had is it was like Twilight Zone, the movie, where it's like four different stories told around they wanted to do originally with the Halloween 3, where it's just like an anthology movie. I'm surprised Kevin didn't know that. It's an anthology movie.
Trick or Treat?
Yeah.
I've seen it.
And all intertwined.
It all wraps, like you have an opening scene with Brian Cox and it wraps up with Brian Cox. Like that's kind of.
And it's intertwined in a way that it's kind of fun because
you
see.
Two cops in you.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, you see the characters at different points. Like it's sort of like almost like Pulp Fiction where it's like
they're out of sync. Yeah. Right.
Like
you see
two characters who are like eliminated earlier.
Right.
And then you see them later. And you see
a scene of them walking down the street and it's theirs, like in their part of the story.
Yeah.
And then at a later scene, you see it somebody else's story, but like they're crossing through their path.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of fun.
It's a cool flick. I like it. So, and then we get like, there's the kid himself still believes in Santa Claus. So he writes in this list and he's just, you know, it's a very heartfelt, no, you don't know what it says until later, but, you know, they come over and all of a sudden Uncle Eddie shows up and I don't know how else to describe him because that's what they were doing.
I know.
As soon as
I was
he
like,
showed up, I was like, oh.
I was like, I
and
was
I like that guy.
I was trying to remember like, cause I, with the Vacation movie they just made, I'm like, was Uncle Eddie in that or is he just flat out auditioning? Like, is it
no,
not
because
been cast
he couldn't,
yet?
Because yeah. I was trying, cause he's, are you being serious? Or are you joking?
Well, I don't remember. Was Eddie, was Uncle Eddie?
He couldn't
in
have been because then, it's Rusty.
It was Rusty.
He, I mean, Uncle Eddie would be super old.
Well, no,
oh, that's
Eddie,
true.
Uncle Eddie, he'd be up in Canada and he'd be,
yeah,
he'd grow up.
That's
here.
True. I forgot it was,
yeah.
It was like a soft
yeah, he's,
reboot.
He's
so
it's Rusty.
It
so
would have to be, well, I guess it wouldn't have.
They would just show Randy Quaid on his videos now and it'd be fine.
But yeah, it felt like he was auditioning for.
That's exactly what it was.
For Uncle Eddie.
Yep. So he shows up with his wife, who is the main character from the first season of Fargo. If you haven't seen Fargo, I cannot recommend that show enough because it's fantastic. And it's, you know, her.
This is David Koechner, who you would know from. He was actually on The Office.
Yeah, that's right.
And he was also in the Anchorman movie.
Right. Yeah, he's part of that little troupe.
He's a very.
Whammy.
He's a sports guy.
He is that guy. And. So there's a little bit of this. One of the scenes that I did really enjoy is like the woman who I thought was their like the mother. So the woman from Fargo and Toni Collette are sisters, and this woman walks in and she was like, "Oh, Aunt Doris, you're here. This is I liked that where she's like, she tricked me. I didn't. She came outside and she was wearing a coat and had presents. I didn't know how to tell her no. So you know, all of these people are in the house and." your main kid, you know, is really innocent, and he just, like, you know, so he's getting picked on constantly from his three cousins
for believing in Santa Claus.
He was too old to be that innocent.
It's tough because I don't know how old he was supposed to be.
Well, all I can do is base it on the age of the actor.
And how old was the actor?
I don't know, but he looked too old to be that innocent.
He did look too old to, like, still believe in Santa Claus.
Yeah.
And he was 19.
He was old enough. He was old enough.
38.
To play the part, but, yeah, it was.
But too old to, like, still believe.
Yeah.
Like, if you're telling me that his sister, you're assuming his sister
if
is.
If your kid still believes in Santa Claus at that age, like, you do him a favor.
Yeah.
And have a sit down.
Just let's have a talk.
Because what happens is exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, not Krampus stuff, but.
No, just believe in Santa Claus by all God means.
But the kid's picking on
Yeah,
them,
and that's, you know? That's what this kid is getting picked on.
At some point, you're doing them a disservice.
Right, yeah. Right. So they all kind of sit down for dinner, and one of the.
Fresh-baked Krampus. Well, it could be delicious.
I don't know. That's true. I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
The two of his cousins have stolen his letter, and they open it and start reading to
their
family. They're
girls, but they look very much like boys.
But I think, like, and she kind of references that the wife.
Yeah. It comes up as a plot point, kind of. I should bring it up.
Yeah, you're right. So the two girls are like, you know, I don't remember if it's one of the girls that says it or if it's the wife, where she's like, you know, he wanted stop raising me like a boy, or they raised me like a boy, for whatever.
Yeah. But he has a son.
Yeah. Wow. You mean Mini Buzz?
Yeah, the mouth breather.
Yeah. There is another great. So this this movie made, like, there are beats in this movie that I find hilarious. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting in the theater and I am the only one laughing.
Yes, because that's because they're not hilarious.
I thought that they were. like I thought that was great. Like the scene where the two boy cousins like see each other, and he was like, hey, how are you, like, what did you ask for Christmas, and the kid just
stares at him with dead on the inside.
Yeah, but then, like, the older
was like, oh, he's already seen this movie.
Right, the older sister comes up from behind him and just, like, dialysis, and, like, to me, like, I was dying, because I don't know, that just that style of humor I find funny. Like, that's just what I think is funny.
Yeah.
You're a sick, twisted bastard.
That's true. Yeah.
Well, I think anybody that's listened to more than 5 minutes of this podcast can attest to the fact that I enjoy sick, twisted humor.
That's true.
Yeah. None of it worked.
It didn't
for
click,
me.
Huh?
None of it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So they, you know, she starts reading the letter, and it's just kind of like, you know, I wish my mom and dad
loved each other
more. I wish that the things were, you know, I wish
I was closer to my sister
than I used to be. I wish things are hard for our cousins, like, I wish it was easier. So, like, the kid was being honest, like, it was just a heartfelt kind of thing. And then, of course, they start making fun of him, and they get into a tussle, and then he goes upstairs and he's sitting there, and Adam Scott comes in, and again, like, Adam Scott is so good. Like, I think this guy is fantastic. He just kind of gives a really good speech where he's like, why do they have to be here? And he was like, yeah, it's, you make a valid point, they are awful.
He said,
people,
he does say something, he was like, and it did make me laugh, he goes, it's just 3 days.
Yeah, he's like,
yeah, that was a great line.
Like, yeah, he goes, they'll be here. They're leaving the day after Christmas, which is 3 days.
Yeah, so we can make this.
Yeah, he's like, I'm here for you. We are in this together. He's like, why don't you go ahead and send that note, send that letter or whatever, and we'll get it taken care of. So he's sitting there and he looks at the letter, and then he just tears it up and throws it out the window.
And the grandmother was fairly adamant about him. Well, not adamant, but she was like, did you send the letter?
Right. And it's
not letter to Santa now.
Right. So there's also, it's weird. This is another point where I was like, oh, you don't know what movie you're making yet.
Yeah. Because she's like in the kitchen, somewhat ominous.
Yeah.
And, you know, really heavily into the ritual and all of these things.
Correct.
Like a lot of cookies there. You know?
Right. Lots of cookies and the hot fire and the fireplace.
Yeah. Like, keep the fire warm.
And so they sit down for dinner. I forgot to mention this. So they're sitting down for dinner, and, the brother-in-law is kind of giving Adam Scott some crap about, you know, did you sir, or, you know, what did you do, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, I was in training. And I was like, oh, like if you're going to tell me that, like, something happened with the grandma and she's been training Adam Scott to fight Krampus.
Yeah.
Like, that's where I thought we were going. I was like,
wow.
Okay.
No.
Well, because they don't really, it was so, yeah, like, it was a throwaway line.
Yeah.
Where he's just like, I was in training.
But here's the mistake you made, is that nothing about this movie is not telegraphed.
No. Right. Right.
They don't do anything subtly. Don't you remember the opening scene about consumerism is bad?
Correct. Yeah.
Now give us your money to see this movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, so that's kind of, okay, that's kind of cool. If you're going to tell me that he's been training the entire time and we're going to come down to Adam Scott versus the Krampus, done. And then it's never brought up again. He just said he was an Eagle Scout.
Yeah.
And that was it.
It was, yeah.
So they, you know, the window, the note goes out the window, and all of a sudden a giant snowstorm rolls in and all the power in this town goes out. So, and there's no cell phone service, there's no electricity, there's no anything. So, and the grandmother, they're all kind of huddled inside the living room, and the grandmother just keeps saying, keep the fire hot, keep, you know, make sure the fire is hot. So the sister, our main character, the little kid's sister, can't get in contact with her boyfriend. So she's like, I'm just going to, like, it's four blocks away. Is that right? Yeah, it's four blocks away. So I'm just, can I just run over there and make sure he's okay? And they were like, Adam's, you know, Toni Collette, the mother, is like, no, I don't think that's a good idea. And of course, Adam Scott's like, yeah, she'll be fine.
Yeah.
What's the worst that could happen?
That's, yeah.
That was a weird part.
Yeah,
that was
a very odd anybody part. Can get out of this hell that they're in.
Right.
But it's like, I don't know very many dads. It's like, oh, it's a 16-year-old girl. So why don't
go
you
to her boyfriend's?
Why don't you, in the middle of the worst snowstorm we've ever seen, walk four blocks so you can go get finger banged by your boyfriend? Like, who's,
is that what they were doing?
That's what they were doing. Okay. I promise you.
Okay.
Like, who? Yeah. And just stay over there for a while. It'll be fine.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Yeah.
So she,
you're
she kind of
buy some extra presents next Christmas.
Yeah. So, I guess I forgot to say. So she leaves and she looks at, and she's kind of walking her way down the street. At the same time, the DHL driver. Like, how much did they pay
DHL?
Wow. Like, that was the one. That's probably the cheapest one they could find.
I can't even imagine what you purchased that DHL would deliver. Because yeah, right. Anybody reputable uses UPS right. Or postal
service. A lot of they do a lot of international stuff. So if you purchase like a big,
like a
big
Krampus?
Item,
a big Krampus.
Like, yeah, if you purchase a big Krampus from China or somewhere, and they'll put it on a boat and ship it over, and then they'll deliver it. So
a
like
slow
they do,
boat.
Yeah, it is. It is. I've done it before. It's very slow.
Uh-huh. All right. So he comes by and he was like, oh, you know, he's delivering something and there's a giant bag.
Except, in China, it's DHR.
No, I know what he did. I'm giving you an unapproving head shake.
They actually changed the company name.
They do.
It's just easier.
Yeah. That's how they can tell the difference between the international division. And
is that how they know? Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So there's a giant, like, Santa bag sitting on the front porch. And she was like, did you do that? And he was like, oh, no. It was here when I got here. She's like, all right.
It must be nice to be rich.
That's the other thing is, like, they're giving them crap for being, like, buying presents.
Well, and then they were, and then there was a really weird line because they say, oh, they probably got it free. Must be Democrats.
Yeah.
And I was like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, I don't know what we're
like,
trying
I
was
to
like,
say.
Like,
you know,
like,
I didn't hear
that.
Statement.
And I'm like, why would you think that this is free just because it showed up? Like, yeah,
just
maybe
they just left it here.
If I have a package on my doorstep, it didn't just get there.
Yeah, that happens all the time. And
out of the kindness of Amazon's heart.
I don't even if it is some sort of charitable donation, I don't think they deliver. You got to go. You gotta go pick up your government. Jesus.
Right, right.
Yeah. Get to the spooking.
Yeah, okay. So they bring it inside.
Because that's how I felt in the movie.
Yeah, I agree. So this is where the movie kind of changes into a straight up horror. So like everything up until this point has been a comedy.
Ish.
Like Black-ish comedy, I guess.
Or funny-ish.
Yeah.
More like funny-ish.
Yeah. So the daughter goes out into the blizzard. And as she's making her way, she sees the DHL truck that's kind of like not knocked over, but like just parked there.
Like and it can't move because
like
of the
she looks in the driver's seat and the driver is there frozen solid and with a face of terror. And she kind of looks off into the distance to what I assume is her boyfriend's house. Mm-hmm. And she sees this giant creature on top of the house.
He's frozen solid with a face of terror. So did they flash freeze him at the moment he
I don't know.
Wait right there. How does make that face. Okay, stop. We got to freeze you now. Hold on. It's getting,
hold it.
Getting colder.
Hold
getting
it,
colder.
Colder.
And you're frozen. Oh, perfect.
It's hard to be scared.
So she goes into the house. And instead of it being the traditional, like, you know, he comes down to the chimney and everything's fine. The chimney is completely destroyed.
It's kind of
split in
open.
Half.
Yeah.
There's, you know, everything is torn apart everywhere.
Oh, bad things have happened
in this house, and there, you don't. There's nobody.
There's
there.
Been a kerfluffle.
Yeah, kerfluffle would be a good word.
Yeah.
So she goes outside, and this is This is where she's leaving the house, yes. And she looks up, and she sees on top of the roof this giant creature.
Which I thought was a pretty stellar, like, I was like, what a great establishing shot. Like,
it was
visually.
I thought that looked really cool. So they give you enough of how big it is because it's running across. He's running across roofs.
This thing's large.
Yeah.
It has.
And they give you an idea of what it should look like. So you can see it's got like giant horns and a big cloak and like a hood.
So not something you want coming down the chimney.
You do not. So she dives under the DHL truck. And the thing kind of lands, and you can see its giant hooves, and it's making its way around. And it's just a shot you've seen a billion times in horror movies, where she's got like her hands over her mouth trying to stop from screaming, and then the thing leaves, but it leaves her a gift, and it's a music box,
condoms.
Nope.
Oh,
they don't have to. Boyfriend's dead. It's fine.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah,
she'll probably never date again.
No, never.
That's how that works.
It's judging by this movie.
Yeah.
So like the music box goes and you're expecting it to pop open and it does, but nothing jumps out. Like
it pops open and a weird
little thing starts to move and then you hear her scream.
Yeah.
And then it cuts to black and you don't really know what's going on.
So it builds and then nothing interesting happens.
Correct.
It's kind of like a metaphor for this film.
And then I'm trying to think, we go back to the house, and then like things are starting to deteriorate inside the house because everybody's giving each other a bunch of guff. I'm trying to think. Adam Scott and
the dads decide
we're gonna go get her.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's getting worse. It's very Night of the Living Dead.
It is very Night. Yeah. You are in this
random
house.
Snowmen are appearing.
The kid sees
all over
this,
the house.
The kid sees one snowman. He kind of says, he's like, hey. I didn't make that, and that's on our front lawn. And then Toni Collette like completely blows it off.
Yeah, it's like it's somewhat massive too.
It's creepy
and well done.
A well done snowman. Those are tough.
Yeah,
to do.
It's not easy.
Yeah. Gotta get the right consistency of the snow and the weight.
Do you want to build a snowman?
No.
Okay.
Go away.
Okay. Bye.
Did you ever see the thing they did with the Harley Quinn and the Joker?
No.
There's a 30-second animated clip called "Do You Want to Kill the Batman?"
Okay,
and it's great.
Yeah, that is good.
It's really good. It's Harley singing to Joker.
Yeah,
in a jail cell. So the two dads go out, and they've made a point to tell you that the brother-in-law is a gun nut and a right wing, and all this. There's gun talk. He's like, they're talking about weapons at the dinner table, and the wife is like, let's curb the gun talk at the dinner table. So he goes out to his.
Hummer.
Yeah, that's a Hummer. Of course. Yeah. Why not?
Yeah, because the stereotype wouldn't be complete unless...
Right, he was driving a Hummer. So he opens up like a Punisher-style like case in the back of the car, and he pulls out like a shotgun and this giant hand cannon.
Yeah.
And
that's the wife's.
Yeah, which I thought was a throwaway line, but I thought it was funny because he's constantly giving Adam Scott a bunch of crap. And like, so because he's giving him so much crap, I thought we were going to get that he is actually not a wuss and he's this badass hunter.
Right.
It doesn't happen.
No.
Well,
when Adam Scott does need to use a gun, he was efficient at it.
He was efficient at it.
But
it wasn't like
it wasn't like the last 5 minutes of Hot Fuzz or anything.
No.
Oh,
man.
No.
So good.
Oh.
So good.
Can we talk about that instead?
I would love to.
Yeah.
Let's talk about them both. Let's do another episode.
So
they go out, and it's pretty obvious that the temperature is dropping rapidly. You can actually see it on their faces, which is kind of a cool effect, where their faces and their hands start to turn red.
Mm-hmm. I just thought they were embarrassed for being
in this
movie. I completely misread that.
So I'm trying to think. Do they get to the truck or somewhere else? Oh, they get to a snowplow.
At this point, they make it to my last nerve.
This is it?
Yes.
We got a ways to go then, buddy.
We're not there yet.
They get to a snowplow.
Yeah.
Okay. And the snow. And this is another scene where the glass is smashed inwards, and like the guy's like, oh, he must have hit a bump and went flying forwards, and Adam Scott's like, no, the glass is pointing inwards. And I was like, they are gonna do it. He's putting all this together. He knows what's happening, and he's, you know.
No.
So they, do they go into the house? Do they go into the boyfriend's house? Or do they just kind of turn around?
No, yeah, they go to the boyfriend's house because they hear the daughter screaming.
Oh, that's right. That's right. So they go, no, they're still outside.
Yeah.
And they're trying to chase after her. Right, right.
It's like, clearly she's not in that house.
She's not in the house. But so they run outside and the snow is getting higher and higher. So Adam Scott is like trudging through this snow and, he's getting so far ahead of the brother-in-law that he's kind of fallen behind. And he, as he turns around, he sees this thing coming through the snow.
Like, it's like Tremors. It's a graboid.
I was like, it's like Bugs Bunny.
Right? Yeah, the same thing I said. Yeah. I was like,
they pop up and say like, oh, I should have taken that left turn.
I should have. Yeah.
So he ends up like getting, it is more like Tremors where he's getting sucked under. Mm-hmm. Adam Scott kind of pulls it off.
In this movie that sucks.
And they end up like, you know, there's a pretty good chunk taken out of the brother-in-law's. Yeah. So they get back to the house. And
the Hummer is
Then the Hummer is
torn apart.
Completely trashed.
Yeah.
So they get back to the house and like the brother-in-law falls down and they start taking care of him. And then it was just, this is a weird part too, where Tony Collette.
There's a part two.
Oh, Tony Collette's like, where's the girl? Where's our daughter? And he was like, we'll get there.
We'll get back out there.
Yeah, don't you worry.
Yeah.
There's some weirdness going on out there. And then I'm trying to think
Up the dad.
This is where we get the explanation from the grandmother.
Yeah.
Because like, they're hearing stuff running around the roof.
Right. Yeah. So, and they're.
It's not squirrels.
It's not squirrels.
It's like a stomp, like something, the mom says it, Tony Collette says it's squirrels.
Right.
And then something lands.
Well,
on
and
the
they're
roof.
In a two-story house. Would you hear something in the roof when you're on the first story?
Right. There's a hole in the floor in between, and something like lands on the house. It sounds like somebody dropped a Clydesdale on it.
Right. So this is where we get an interesting animation sequence.
Yes,
where, which I thought was beautiful.
Was cool.
I
wanted to see this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the German grandmother tells this story about how her village had kind of fallen on hard times, mm-hmm. and
lost the holiday spirit. They lost the Christmas spirit.
And she writes a note to St. Nicholas, I guess.
Isn't it kind of, again, the movie can't find its tone, right? So what does the film open with? A montage of consumerism run amok.
Yeah.
And that's what's wrong with society. Why is her initial dealing with Krampus bad? Because her community had fallen on hard times and didn't have enough money to celebrate Christmas.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't put that together. Yeah, that's very interesting.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
They just didn't have the holiday spirit.
They didn't. Yeah. Let's just leave it at that.
Dan's like, it's going with no holiday spirit.
I was like, whatever. Okay.
Let's not overthink it.
Well, first of all, I was like, you know, because at first I was like, oh, it's like the two brothers thing or the three brothers thing in Deathly Hallows, but no. That little stop motion animation.
Oh, yeah. So she tells a story about.
This is a nice aside. It was like.
This is a really cool part. So she tells a story about how she writes this letter and then Krampus comes to visit her and ends up killing her entire family and leaves her with like an ornament as a reminder.
And a wink.
Like, hey.
See you around.
Take care. And an ornament to remind her that like to always have the Christmas spirit. So which is when you see her with all of these cookies and, you know, trying to inspire the grandson to keep his spirit alive.
Yeah.
Making hot fire.
Yeah.
So that they can't come down the chimney. So
keep the fire burning.
Keep the fire burning.
Let it keep you warm.
Yes.
What's just happening? Quoting REO Speedwagon lyrics.
Oh, all right. Very good.
Yeah, you are.
Kevin has an outro song now, though. Right.
Keep the fire burning.
So they all kind of, they start boarding up the house very much like Night of the Living Dead. And then they decide that, like, we're going to take watch. Like, I'll sleep with, you know, you go sleep with your family. I'll take first watch. Then he falls asleep almost immediately, which is also like, of course you would. Like, makes sense. So then we get like this thing starts coming down the chimney. It's just like chains, and on the chain is
a hook. It's a
giant hook, and it's Gingy from Shrek on this thing.
Yeah. It's a gingerbread.
Yeah. So the Buzz Jr., the son of the brother-in-law and the sister, kind of walks over and looks at it and picks it up and then takes a chunk out of it, like just bites into, which is something that like I feel like they tried to make this kid gross And it worked most of the time, just because like he picks up a whole pheasant and is just like gnawing on, like with, for dinner, like that she made pheasants. And he's like, he has no idea how to eat it. So he's just picking up the whole bird and just eating chunks off the bird.
Yeah.
And then the kid ends up getting taken.
Yeah.
And you're like, so the sister has been taken at this point too. And I was like, okay, okay. If they're going to keep with this tone where it's like, nobody's safe.
I'm like, yeah,
this is where I was like, that's what?
Because when they killed the daughter,
right.
I was just
and
like,
we're pretty sure that like they did.
And I was just like, well, that's, I'm like, okay. Like you thought, I thought this was going to be about, they
coming together, like, well, coming together to fight this thing.
Well, no, I thought they brought in all these really just ugly characters for the sake of we get to enjoy watching them die,
right?
And then the first thing they did was kill
the
daughter,
sister that you like,
and it didn't feel like that was deliberate so much.
Right.
Like it just feel like it didn't feel like head fake. It just felt like yeah, I guess that makes sense. Sure,
I guess
you know,
if they were going for the tone where it's like, there's nobody safe in this movie.
Well, at a
but I didn't
point,
feel like it struck that tone.
Well, but I see, and at kinda. This point, it's still like, you know, is this going to be one of those things where it's going to have a happy ending?
Or
like,
is it
like, you know, the way they take the son, it's like, oh, they'll get him back.
Right.
You know, and like with the daughter, it's like, well, maybe they'll get her back.
Right,
like,
right.
Like, they're, are they going for a movie where it's like, it all
you're
works gonna out
rescue
at the
everybody?
End.
Right, right.
At this point.
Right. It doesn't turn out that way.
And,
well, it
and he gets sucked up the chimney.
And like his shoe falls and like, you know, so.
And then the sisters have to go upstairs.
Yeah.
And,
so like they.
And they have to go to the bathroom or something like that.
Well, they run upstairs to use the restroom because Aunt Doris or whatever clogged the one downstairs. And I was like, isn't they again, like, wasn't that in Vacation?
Yeah.
It's like, isn't that a joke from Vacation?
Yeah. Like, they've got, like, this family and set of characters from another movie.
Yeah.
That are,
yes.
not, are in the
actually,
wrong movie.
No, I think the sister.
The
fits.
Sister works.
The sister works, but like.
But it's like, as soon as they walked in, it's like, yeah, it's not the movie.
No.
You shouldn't be in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you're going to do that movie, then everybody needs to be awful. And
right.
And your nuclear family is the one that are the good people. So yeah, the two sisters are going to use the restroom and they hear somebody like what you assume is the sister that we've lost in the beginning.
Right.
Like saying something up in the attic and they're like, oh, are you up there? And she's like, oh, I'm here. Yeah. Like, oh, so they go up there and then of course they're gone.
They're screaming.
Yeah. They get taken as well.
Family goes upstairs.
Family goes. Yeah.
Classic horror movie.
And now this is where we start getting the monsters.
Yes.
In this scene.
Finally.
So Adam Scott and Toni Collette and
The wife
all go upstairs and we get
we see Krampus.
Nope.
No, we don't
see
Krampus.
No, we see some we see a jack in the box that's very large and worm
like. It looks
and
like
this was actually somewhat repulsive and disturbing.
It was.
This movie has a thing with tongues.
It does.
Yeah, this is where I was like, they're starting to go into Sam Raimi territory.
But I think a lot of the Krampus artwork, he's got a really weird creepy tongue.
He does.
So, oh, does he?
That's actually, that's in all of the artwork. He's got a huge long tongue.
So interesting. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, and this is where I was like, oh, they're going to go like full bore. And that's what I was like, at this moment, I'm like, what is this movie rated? Like, where are we
what
going?
Was it rated?
Like, it's PG-13.
Yeah, okay.
But
yeah, there was only
at
one
first I was like,
yeah.
are we going into... like I was thinking of like Drag Me to Hell, way over the top. Like,
yeah,
yes.
I like that. Like,
I do as
that
well.
Really, like,
which I like,
especially for a PG-13 horror movie. They really got away with a lot.
So I'm like, that's where they're going to go with this one, and
that would have worked.
And I thought that's what is happening because we see this is when we find out. Like we see one of the sisters, I believe, being kind of swallowed
down into
the gullet of this. Thing.
Yeah, there's a movie called The Taking of Deborah Logan, which is a found footage flick. The premise of the movie is, it doesn't matter, whatever.
Yeah.
So the last scene of that movie has gotten so much buzz because it's so messed up.
Yeah.
And it's a scene that is kind of similar, where like you see a jaw unattached, like eating a child.
Yeah.
And this is similar. Like you see is like feet going into this giant slug,
like,
jack-in-the-box
like
mouth.
Hiking boots, some Timberland boots or something.
Timberland.
And I was like, okay, so we're not going to be coming back from that one.
Yeah, yeah, good luck.
Yeah, well, like, I don't think they're going to be pulling this kid out of that.
But they also start dropping like flies.
Yeah.
Like you start losing characters really fast at this point.
Yeah.
Almost as fast as I was losing interest.
I don't think that's true. I had lost interest a long time ago.
You were done at this point.
So then there's a fight. So like Adam Scott has to fight this weird winged.
It's an angel. Like,
Krampus.
Tree angel.
No, it's not. I'm sorry. Adam Scott fights the robot.
He fights the robot.
The wife.
The toy robot.
The wife fights the weird angel. Yeah. And then
the wife fights Krampus.
Nope.
No.
Oh. No. Fights a demonic Krampus. Teddy bear.
And a teddy bear.
Looked like Five Nights at Freddy's.
A tree angel.
It did. That's what I remembered it from. It did look just like that.
Yeah.
So they think they've defeated these things. They go downstairs, and they're like, "We got to get out of here. This is a mess."
And the husband, the alpha, is fighting the gingerbread
Krampus.
No.
Oh,
the gingerbread scene was kind of funny as
well. Yeah, he's shotgunning the gingerbread.
He shoots like a lantern, and they all set on fire. And then you get the cool, funny scene with the dog.
Yeah,
like they think they've killed all the gingerbread men, but the dog, like, he runs out of bullets or whatever, and he's kind of like blocking himself. All of a sudden, you hear the dog eating the gingerbread man.
Yeah,
as fast can be.
Yeah.
So they decide we got to get out of this house. Like, we got to go.
Yeah.
So they start to get everything together. They start to pile out, and the grandma's like, "I brought this here. This is on me. I'm going to stay behind." And of course she closes the door behind her, and then we lose grandma.
Yeah. Well, I guess who you get to see? Krampus.
Gingerbread man.
No.
This is
Krampus.
I looked at my watch. It was an hour and 20 minutes into the movie.
Yeah. And that Krampus looked awesome.
It was
I wish I could have seen more of it.
That was a great scene.
Yeah.
Like the coming out of the chimney was like just to turn that whole sort of visual of Santa coming down.
Right.
He comes
right,
out
right,
head
yeah.
first. He crawls out and it's sort of like the ring. The little
it was a little bit. Yeah. Yeah.
It
yeah.
was like, well handled.
Yeah. And the whole chimney is cracking apart.
Yeah.
It was cool.
Absolutely disturbing.
I like that.
There's pieces in this movie where I'm like, oh, that would have been good.
Yeah. Oh, but it's okay.
You know, like right. this movie
there are.
Is
like
I was like, it's because it doesn't know what it wants to be.
Right. I wish
and there's
had
parts of the movie that I'm like, I like that part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. So they get out, and I'm trying. They get to, this is where we get the elves. We start seeing the elves for the first time.
Oh yeah, the elves
are. They come in the house and
took the baby.
Oh yeah, they do take a baby in this movie.
And I was like, what?
They totally snatch
the aunt, which was like, yeah.
No, they take the aunt. Oh yeah,
they
she kind of yeah. She does like the whole Dennis Quaid thing where she's I'll see you in hell.
I'll see you all in hell.
Yeah. And then she gets taken. But yeah, they did take the baby.
Too late.
Yeah,
yes. Just did.
Yeah, they took the baby.
So then they like at this point they just take off. Like they try to get out of the house.
Yeah.
And they're trying to get to the snowplow. And they get to the, as they're getting to the snowplow, this is where we start losing even more people. So
everybody.
We lose Adam Scott. Adam Scott kind of says, "Go. Oh. I'll take care of this from here," and starts, you know, he gets taken, and then the aunt gets taken. It's the same thing as like Tremors. Like we're back at that Tremors scene where they're getting sucked under the snow.
Which is, but Tremors is the good movie.
Yes. The first one.
Yeah.
We don't talk about like
two, no, no, three, no, four. No. But I mean, that's, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a movie that's a good example of like how you can stick the landing on something like this.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Cabin in the Woods.
Absolutely. Fantastic. Yeah. That's another one. And I don't.
Did
like,
I just ruin your video recovery?
No,
we did.
I ruined it. Yeah.
Evil Dead or Army of Darkness.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, that's what I'm saying. As long as like, there's all these movies out there where
exist.
The horror is a real thing,
yes.
And the comedy is just built around that,
right?
So they get to the car, and it is one of the sisters, one of
the other
cousins,
sister,
and the kid, and then the Toni Collette gets taken, mm-hmm. and then the other cousin gets taken, and this kid. Like, they do the whole thing with the grandma. So the Krampus kind of says, gives him an ornament.
Yeah.
And it's just like.
And it's all wrapped up in the kid's letter.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's.
It was a cool little moment where it's like,
yeah,
okay,
he just, like, drops it.
So guess what? Grandma wasn't the problem. You were the problem. Like, there was a reason grandma was trying to keep your spirits high because she was trying to fight off this Krampus.
Yeah.
So the kid kind of takes it, and then he sees, like, off in the distance.
The sleigh
and like the big and like they've got the cousin, so he walks back and he was like, "I take it back. I take everything back. I don't want this. Like, just please give me my family back." So the Krampus kind of jumps down, and
the kid throws the ornament and it opens up the
portal to hell.
Yeah,
and the kid kind of says, "Take me instead. Like, give me back bring my family back and take me." And he's crying. So the Krampus kind of touches the kid's tear. And I was like, man, all right, fine. Like, if you don't have the balls to give me the movie where everything isn't okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever. So, and then he starts to laugh and he like palms the kid's head and throws him into the pit. And I was like,
oh yeah, I know. I was kind of like,
right. You yeah. That was a double switch. Well done. Little did I know it was going to be a triple switch. So you think like, I was like, okay, cool. Like everybody's dead. That's the end of the movie. Like, I don't, all right, see ya. Take care.
Yeah.
Not the case. Kid wakes up and I was like, oh, screw off.
It's Christmas morning.
Yeah. Screw all of you for telling me that this is a dream.
Yeah.
So he goes downstairs.
And it's going to get worse.
Yeah. So he goes downstairs.
It's
going to
get worse before it gets better. Spoiler. It doesn't get better.
So I was with this movie until this part. Like, I was into this movie until this is the scene where I was like, man, that sucked.
Yeah, everybody's gathered around the fire.
And everybody's super happy and everybody...
being nice.
Like, yeah, being super nice.
Well, they had been softening these characters throughout the film.
Yes.
They had been making
them
in. They weren't quite the caricatures that they began as...
Right, they started like as extremes and they
I guess that's true.
Came closer to being... in the same movie.
Right.
Because like Adam Scott and Uncle Eddie kind of have a moment when they're out...
when he's like bandaging him up and
You know, like they definitely soften him.
Yeah, that's a good point. So they're all sitting there and having their, you know, he's like, the kid is the only one that apparently, like, you're thinking the kid is the only one that remembers what happened. And he was like, are you all right? He's like, yeah, I just had a bad dream. So they kind of have this moment and then they toss the kid a present and he opens it and it's the Krampus ornament.
Like Polar Express.
Yeah, right. And then at this point, this is I have a feeling this was not the original ending. I have to believe that that the studio was like, no, you can't kill everybody. Give me this instead. I think I could be completely wrong.
Yeah,
just because this feels like this scene feels completely different than the entire movie.
Yeah,
and again, you know what I mean.
So we have like a fourth,
another movie.
Yeah,
yeah, right. So
plus,
you know, he opens
plus it elsewhere.
Plus, so he opens the gift, and then all of them have flashbacks to what happened.
Yeah, they all have this look of horror on their face.
What has happened?
And they don't show you flashbacks. They just get this this moment of realization. Like, wait, I remember more than just us going to bed last night.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And
that's kind of how it ends.
No, it's not. There's one more thing they got to do. Yeah. Then they pan back and they're all in Tommy Westfall's snow globe. And
did you see him in a snow globe?
No.
What? Did they drop a reel on you or something?
I don't know.
They don't have reels anymore.
Did they drop a
file
on you?
No. I'm sorry.
And then you see Krampus has this collection of snow globes.
Yes. I do remember that.
They're inside the house.
So have they been
snow globe?
So have they been? So have they been captured? Were they always in a snow globe?
Yeah.
Is this just a lazy plot device that they thought would blow our mind, but really doesn't make any goddamn sense?
Well, this ending is
so like I completely forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, and this ending is sort of cribbed from Saint Elsewhere,
right?
And also from Jeepers Creepers, which isn't that good, but an ending like that where it like ends in the bad guy's lair.
Yeah,
and it's like, oh, he got him in the end.
Yeah.
That is true. So, yeah, it didn't even...
That was kind of... That opened... That was right
that
was right there for you.
We've already done that. Gone down that road like three times.
It was right there.
Yeah.
Unintentionally, but...
I dug this movie up until the awakening the next morning.
I
liked it a lot. I had fun with it.
I mean, I already didn't like it.
That didn't help matters.
But the last 5 minutes was just such...
Yeah.
And it didn't add anything. Like, they were trying to send you out with like a, what? That's crazy.
Right.
But like, the more you pick it apart, and by pick it apart, I mean, think about it for more than 4 seconds, it makes no sense.
Right.
It doesn't... And it's not, and it makes no sense in a like, ooh, what does that mean? Like, maybe if the rest of the movie had been good, I would be willing to contemplate what does that mean. But the rest of the movie for me hadn't been good enough to make me think that they did anything smart here. It was just a lazy resolution,
right,
to their like
I said,
story.
I think with a twist.
Right.
But I think if they had left it where the kid gets thrown into the pit of hell, and they're like, done, credits,
right,
I'd have been like, okay. Like, I think that would have made the movie a million times better.
Yeah.
But I did not like that ending. Like, the thing where it's like, everybody's okay.
It's a very...
But we're not okay.
This is a very just bipolar
Express.
There you go.
The Bipolar Express.
It is. It's very like where you're like, I just don't.
It doesn't know what it wants to be any level.
Yeah. And there's
parts
of it.
Does it
want to
be a straight up horror movie? Does it want to be campy? Does it want to be a horror comedy?
Yeah.
Does it want to be a mind F? Like, it doesn't know what it wants to do.
And we had said that, you know, before. It was like, I'm not sure what that movie wants to be, but not knowing that it doesn't
not
know.
Not knowing that it really doesn't know what it wants to be.
Yeah. It tries to have its candy cane and eat it too.
Ayo.
Yeah.
Well done.
That was seasonal.
Yeah, that was what that was.
So there you go. There's Krampus. Like, it's, you know,
really, you really do need my doll.
Yeah,
I told you I'd tell that joke again.
Don't say it. No, don't say
thanks
that.
Thanks for sticking around, everybody. That's my little reward.
Yeah,
you,
right.
I did.
I really enjoyed it. I thought the monsters looked cool.
There are aspects of it that I really enjoyed, and then there are aspects where I'm like, oh, get out of here.
Yeah.
Like, go back to that other movie for me.
Of the four different movies that they tried to make, I could have enjoyed three of them.
Yes.
But they just couldn't stick with anything long
enough. I just don't know, like...
Yeah, I knew it.
Jack Frost of all trade, master of none.
All right,
okay.
All right.
Nothing. Yeah, it's on a high note, George. it's like even in the beginning, I was like, they were doing this sort of like trite scene.
Yeah,
and
right.
And because as soon as I saw the police with the tasers, I was like.
Well, see, I was thinking of Zombieland is honestly what I thought.
Right.
Like, that opening scene in Zombieland.
I do that a lot. Like, when I'm in a movie, I don't, like, think back to movies I did like.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
I know. And I thought, I was like, okay.
But what was
like,
original and cool about this, they just, like, didn't want to stay in that mode very
right.
well.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
it was like when the girl was outside and he's hopping from roof to roof, I'm like...
That's cool.
Just stay this movie.
Give me this.
Right. Be this movie from now on.
Or just be like a straight up horror flick. If you're going to tell me a straight up horror monster movie.
Yeah.
Like if you're going to tell me that this thing is a straight up monster, just give me that. Like
pull the switcheroo. They could pull the like dysfunctional, wacky family thing at the beginning and then just like go, oh, sorry, that's not really the movie.
Right. And I don't even mind so much of not seeing Krampus. Like, that doesn't bother me because, like, I like...
If the other parts had been better, then you're right. Like,
right.
I mean, you don't really see all that much zombies in Night of the Living Dead.
Sure.
That was
Tom hates those Jaws.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah. If the movie's better, then you don't mind that.
Right.
You
know? Right. That's true. But, yeah, I guess if they had stuck with that monster...
When we saw Godzilla... You know,
you didn't see the monster for like a couple years into the movie?
Yeah, yeah.
And it was great.
That was awesome. Yeah.
I think they waited a little too long, but not like this. Like, I wasn't begrudging it in the same way that this movie made me.
Because they had other movie that they could still show you and
you
were going to enjoy.
Yeah, you were waiting for something.
Yeah, when we saw Godzilla a couple years ago, speaking of Jaws.
Yes.
They're the same movie.
Oh. Yeah, the same movie.
Yeah.
The family even has the same name.
Yeah.
They are the Brodies, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. You're right.
So, anyway, Dan,
I was going to say, I don't know. This one, I was just like, as I'm watching, I'm like, I want to like that movie.
I wanted to like this movie.
I liked
the idea of what they were going for. I wanted to like this movie.
I'm in like I'm like at a C level.
I give it like a C+.
Okay.
So like a low B minus.
I give it like a D.
All right. Yeah. Right on.
It's not bad enough to be an F. I mean, it was in focus.
Yeah.
I wonder if like the magic that this guy has in him, Michael Dougherty, I mean, like if that's tied to the other writer.
Well,
you know what I mean? Like,
I think that's part. Yeah, I don't know. I think there you might be right about studio meddling and the video recovery is Trick or Treat because that's a great movie that like a lot of people have not seen.
Yeah.
It sat on the shelves for a while.
It
too.
Did. I think that Superman did something to that. I think Superman. So he wrote Superman Returns as well.
Yeah.
And I think they were going to come out around the same time and they wanted to get Superman out first. And then that happened.
Yeah.
And they were like, yeah, that's not.
And they weren't going to release it.
Correct.
And then they sort of, the studio released it begrudgingly.
Right.
Kind of under a lot of pressure because he like released an art book because.
There's a comic book with it.
There's a comic book. There was a lot of.
They released the look of the, like the Sack Kid.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The,
like,
the,
I mean, they,
the,
there's.
The Crypt Keeper for
so,
this.
So like, I, you know, that's why I was like, character design and his creature design is really spot on.
Uh-huh.
And you can see that's kind of where like. You can tell he's investing in aspects. So
that's what I'm saying. Like, I wonder if he's the character guy and his the writing.
Well, and it was like
can you look that up, Kevin. See who
like what
who,
tonally. Like, I was like, it's like he kind of wants to be Joe Dante.
Yep, I thought the exact same.
Yeah, there's definitely a Gremlins vibe to it in parts.
But that's how. But look at Gremlins. You know, it's like what this has is like. I was like, it's sort of like if Poltergeist had bad jokes. You know,
yeah,
like
right,
so. It's like
right.
It's like it would go into Poltergeist mode,
yeah.
And it's like, you know, family in peril and kind of horrific,
trapped in a house,
trapped yeah. in a house, and then
in the suburbs,
and then some, you know, one-liners.
Yeah,
that would have killed that movie.
Yeah,
you know, and there's some funny things that happen.
Sure, but it's,
but they don't.
Yeah, right.
They don't like beat you over the head.
Dan with, Harris is the other guy.
Okay,
that's the other guy's name.
Yeah, so I mean, I would say if you check out Trick or Treat, like it's obviously a better movie.
Yes, it is. Yep,
but I mean the guy. Has talent.
Yeah. There's something there. And like
nobody,
I said, I don't
nobody
know.
Nobody bats a thousand.
No, no. And I just wonder if
anybody that listens to more than two episodes of this podcast can attest to the fact that nobody yeah. bats a thousand.
That's true. So, yeah, I think it's worth, it's not worth going to the theater to see.
Yeah.
I will say if you can catch it on VOD, I would recommend it. Is it just, you know.
It'll probably be better for our listeners who catch it on Netflix.
Yeah. Is that real? Is that a thing?
Yeah. Trick or Treat 2 has been announced.
Huh.
Nice.
Okay.
Written and directed by Michael Dougherty again.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Well,
there we go.
So, you know, we'll see. He definitely gravitates towards horror and...
Which explains
I think
Man of Steel or Superman Returns.
Yeah.
Nice. We'll by both.
Wow. It never ends.
He wasn't even didn't even get involved with Man of Steel, but it's still
so we're still holding anybody ever attached to Superman responsible.
I blame Richard Donner.
Yeah, so well thank you, Dan.
No problem.
Well, I guess that's it for Krampus. We will go around the table and everybody can say where to find them.
This is Dan. You can find me on the Twitter at Dan Graney 67 GRANEY.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS 21.
I'm Kevin Brackett. I am also on the Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And I am Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Don't forget, if you would like to continue the conversation online, there are a myriad of ways in which you can do that. You can follow us on Facebook at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. You can follow us on Twitter at Real Spoilers, or you can email us at RealSpoilers@ReviewSTL.com. You could even just go to our webpage, and we'll never even know that you did. And that's located at RealSpoilers.com. That's very simple.
It's very simple.
A whole host of ways. Or you can also get us wherever finer podcasts are sold. So iTunes, Stitcher, Acast, etc. While you're there, feel free to rate and review us and say nice things. And if you really, really like us, you can even share us on your social media pages.
It'd be cool if you do.
It helps us tremendously, and we greatly appreciate it. So coming up next week, it's going to be a little different. We won't have a box office report next week, but we will make up for it by giving you a very, very special episode.
Oh, man.
I'm not
so
going to reveal it yet.
So excited.
No, just in case the wheels come off, but I don't think they will. But if everything goes according to plan, next week we will have our first ever celebrity guests on the show. We're very excited about that.
Celebrity guest that's like these dudes.
If you like pecan.
Oh, man.
You like pecan.
Oh, man.
You like to like
so good.
I think you're going to be in for a treat.
Whoa,
so good.
Whoa, we're tipping the hand too much.
Yes.
So good.
Maybe Kevin will bleep that out in post. Just put chicken noises in.
Maybe like, burp, burp.
Yeah. They're going to be actually old-timey chicken noises.
Old-timey chicken noises.
They're going to be wearing a fedora.
It'll be like an Al Jolson doing a chicken noise. Yeah.
I'm trying to imagine.
I don't know, but I can't do it without saying mammy.
Mammy.
Yeah, we don't want to go down that road.
Oh, no.
Anyway, so we will have a very special Christmas episode lined up for you next week. So thank you for tuning in. And until next time, the post office delivers Judge Harper 21 bags of mail.
Keep the fire. We'll be right back.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.